Really appreciated the songs that Gary sang. Some of them we haven't sang in a while. And there were ones I remember from my childhood, which are good to sing. But there are some songs that we tend to sing over and over, and perhaps too often, because we don't give enough thought to what we're saying to one another. And the whole purpose of songs is to be able to express and speak to one another about the concepts that we all need to keep in mind. There's one song in our book, and it probably hasn't become one that we sang too often now because it's been a while, but it's over in song number 418. If you just take your songbooks just for a moment, because it expresses some things that we're going to talk about in our lesson today. Song number 418 is, Lord, I care not for riches. And if you read through it, it says, neither is silver or gold, but I would be sure of heaven. I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, with its page wide and fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? And that's a point that we need to think about. It expresses a thought that's really, really important to every one of our lives. It's not worldly success or wealth. What's important to each of us ought to be the surety that we are going to heaven. We know that our sins are many. That's what the second verse of that song talks about. Our many sins would keep us out if it was not for our Savior Jesus. His sacrifice, his promise is enough to give us confidence. And it's for the beauty of heaven that we long, and so that's also important. So the question is my name written there? On the page wide and fair, in the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? Now I want you to give thought today about that book that it's referring to. Have you given much thought about that book? We've sing that song. Well, what book is it referring to? There's a book that's referred to, and we've got it on the board here, called the Book of Life. And it's for the reason of joy. If our name is found written in that book. Over in Luke chapter 10, Jesus is sending out his disciples, not just the 12, but 70 disciples are being sent out to prepare the way for him coming around Judea. In verse 1, it says, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And so they went to announce and prepare people for Jesus' visit. They would be personal representatives of Jesus. They were his, in a sense, his ambassadors. Take a look at verse 16. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me. He who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. Now think about what that privilege was. To be sent out to be the creator of the universe's own personal representative. And in fulfilling that duty, they came back really excited. In verse 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. They didn't realize how much power was given to them. And they couldn't believe it. We could even command demons and they were subject to us in your name. It was incredible. And Jesus, in fact, acknowledges they made a great impact in the world. Just in that teaching, in that little bit of time. Jesus said in verse 18, he said to them, I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing will injure you. Can you imagine? Being a preacher, I think about something like this. Being able to go out and teach God's word and make such an impact that God says it was like Satan falling like lightning from him. He fell so fast it was like lightning striking. That's the impact they made in the world. But what's incredible beyond that is the very next statement in verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. All that impact, all that power, all that prestige of being Christ's representative, that's nothing compared to the fact that your names are recorded in heaven. The one thing to treasure is if your name's written in that book. Where's it being recorded? Well, in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Indeed, true companion, I ask that you also help these women who share my struggle in the cause of the gospel, together with Clement and also the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are recorded in the book of life. There's a book, the book of life. Paul said that his companions, his friends, have their names recorded there. Well, how did he know? Did he peek? How is it that Paul understood that these people's names were written in a book in heaven? Perhaps God told him, but it's not actually indicated here. But no, what Paul knew about his companions were the work that they were doing. And Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 16, you'll know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. How did Paul understand where these people's names were written? He saw their works. He saw the results of what they were doing. He understood that they were following after Christ. It's not a guessing game. It's a result of seeing people's commitment to Christ. Take a look at 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And starting with verse 3. 1 John chapter 2, starting with verse 3, says, by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner in which he walked. How do we know? Well, are you walking the way Christ walked? It's not a guess. It's a result of obedience. A devotion to what Christ was, and being a follower and a disciple of him. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12, we're told how these names are written. Hebrews chapter 12. And in verse 23, it says, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and the spirits of all the righteous made perfect. The names are enrolled in heaven. God writes these names down. Those who are in the church are those whose names are written in heaven. Of course, it's not, well, anybody who's a member of La Vista has their names down. That's not what it's saying. It's the individual Christians whose names are written there. It's the Lord who adds to the rolls. Take a look at Acts chapter 2. Second chapter of Acts, chapter 2, starting with verse 46. It says, day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. As people obeyed, Christ was adding them to the rolls. In fact, going back to chapter 2 and verse 38, when they asked, what do we do to be saved? Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. When they obeyed the command of God, they were enrolled in that book. But we understand that people can be enrolled in it because of their obedience to what Christ said and their commitment to living by the laws that Christ laid down for each one of us. Well, the other half has to be true too. People's names can be added, they can be removed. The writings are not permanent. When Moses came down from the mountain, that's why we had it for our scripture reading in Exodus chapter 32, he found the people committing idolatry and other sins. He was so upset, he broke the stone commandments that God personally wrote. Can you imagine having a pair of stone tablets written by God himself? Not just the words, but actually inscribed by God. And being so upset, you throw them down and break them. He punished the people. But still he approached God and asked God to forgive them. As much as Moses was upset with them, he still ask God to forgive them. And I want you to notice what he said, that if God would not save them, Moses asked that he not be saved. Take a look at Exodus chapter 32, starting with verse 30. On the next day, Moses said to the people, you yourselves have committed a great sin, and now I'm going up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make an atonement for your sin. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, alas, this people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will, forgive their sin. And if not, please blot me out from your book which you have written. Moses was willing to put his own life, his eternal life, on the line for a bunch of people that didn't even respect God. God's answer is kind of interesting. Look at verse 33 of the same chapter. The Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. God basically told Moses, no, you don't get to choose whether you're in that book or not. I choose. And it's based on what a person does. But notice the implication there also. God says people will be blotted out. Their names will be removed. Even if a person's name is written in a book, his name can be removed if he sins. Going to the other side of our Bible, to Revelation chapter 3, we're told about the church in Sardis. That church receives a warning from Jesus because they had not been behaving properly. In Revelation chapter 3, starting with verse 1, it says, "To the angel of the church in Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up, strengthen the things which remain, which are about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. So remember what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come to you. But I have a few people in Sardis who have not sold their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white, and I will not erase his name from the book of life. And I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels." If someone hangs on, doesn't get wrapped up in those sins, Jesus says, I won't blot his name out of that book. But if they did not repent of their sins, their names would be removed, is what Jesus is saying. Jesus will be willing to do so. And it shouldn't be surprising because sin separates us from God. Take a look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, starting with verse 1. "Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so he does not hear." Sin keeps us away from God. Sin kills us. In Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of our God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And what we find in the scriptures is those who are not written in the book of life suffer the second death. Second death because we all die. We're all going to face death one day, except those who happen to be alive at the time Jesus comes. But for the most part, all of us will die. But if our names are not found in the book of life, those people will not live again. They will die again. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, "Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire." This is the second death, the lake of fire. "And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." In fact, that tells us then something else that we need to understand. The book of life is a part of our judgment. Going back to verse 11 of Revelation 20, it says, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat upon it, and from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, according to their deeds. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds." It says books were opened before the judge. probably is referring to the Old and the New Covenant. And each would be then judged by the covenant by which they lived under. Today our standard is are the words of Christ. We are under His covenant. Take a look at John chapter 12 and verse 48. John 12, and verse 48, He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day. For us, Christ's words judge us. What we do in life is compared to what God required of us. Paul mentions in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, starting with verse 12. Romans 2, verse 12. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law do instinctively the things of the law, these not having the law are a law to themselves, in that they show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternatively accusing or else defending them on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. We're going to be judged by the gospel the apostles wrote down and recorded for us. Sometimes people ask, well, what about the person who was way over on the other side of the world and never heard the gospel? It's still the law that's in effect. It's a law that's, in one way, is written in our hearts. Now, it's an advantage to know, be able to read it and learn it. But it's still the law that we have to live by. But going back to Revelation 20, it mentions that there was another book. We're judged by the books, probably the Old and the New Covenant. And then another book was opened. It was the book of life. And those not found in that book were cast into the lake of fire. That book of life records what we do. Here's the laws that we are to live by. Here's a book that records what we did. And we're judged. Each according to our deeds. And God wants people saved. That's His desire. That is His goal. Is to save people. Even though we sin so many times and we seem like we're bent on going against what God has said, God wants us saved. In 2 Peter, in behind here, or ahead. Oh, I've missed the verse. In 2 Peter chapter 3, and in verse 9, it says, "The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance." God doesn't want anyone lost. He wants people to repent. He wants people to have their name written in that book. Because only then can there be an entrance into heaven. Over in Revelation 21. Revelation 21. And in verse 27. "And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, But only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For as Jesus mentioned in Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. That's a requirement. In a sense, that's my job, the job of every gospel preacher, is to see that your name is written in the book of life. How? Well, by teaching you what the Lord demands. Telling you what is required of each of us. So that our names will be written there. To listen to His Word, to believe it, to change your life, to confess His name. To be baptized, to be washed, to wash away your sins. It's the job of every elder to see that your name remains in that book. That's not blotted out because of disobedience. Because if your name isn't there on those pages white and fair, there won't be any joy and judgment for you. I hope you think about these things. Again, we invite anyone who's here who is not yet a child of God. There's no better time than right now to put on Christ. For those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on your behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that was selected.